Box build unmodulated.
Welcome, Doug. Welcome, Rick.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Welcome.
We're at Fox Build today. What's Fox Build?
Fox Build is a makerspace.
And a co-working space.
And a lot of things to a lot of different people.
Yeah. Tech hub, hackerspace.
It's a woodworking shop, a textile shop.
Metalworking shop, electronics lab.
Got some musicians that like to do music here.
Got a full media room where we're doing this podcast.
We've even got some early stage entrepreneurs that use this as their office for their smaller companies.
And we do a lot of social events.
Well, before we go too much deeper, maybe you should introduce yourselves. For first, why don't we start with you, Rick?
All right, yeah. My name is Rick Carlino. I'm one of the managers here. I'm a software developer by day, and I also manage Fox Build. I've been doing this for about 3 years now. My interest in makerspaces started many years ago when I was starting my software development career. My first software development job was actually out of a makerspace in Phoenix area. It was called Heatsink Labs, and it was just a really great place. You know, you could grab a beer with your friends after work. You could use it as your office if you were a small company. At that time, I was working at a maybe 4-person software consultancy. So we would rent a desk there, and we would go in, and from 9 to 5, we were just, you know, churning out code. And in the afternoons, we'd be building robots or doing sewing or model rockets. All sorts of things would really just happen out of this space. And then when I moved back to Illinois, where my family's from, there really wasn't anything like that around here. So I took it upon myself to, along with our partners Doug and Tim, we started Fox Build, which is the only makerspace in this area.
How about you, Doug?
Hey, I'm Doug Kimber, basically electrical engineer by training. Retired from that, though, and now Fox Build is primarily where I spend most of my time. I'd say free time, but I don't think there is such a thing. I've been making stuff since I was a little kid. When I was 10, my dad taught me how to use a table saw, and, I never looked back. So I like to do the electronic stuff. I really get a kick out of watching the cool stuff that other people do here. And I find that very, very inspiring. In fact, one guy was using our wood lathe and turning out some really cool stuff. And I finally went home and dug out my own wood lathe at home, which I hadn't used in 25 years, and turn an old walnut log into a real nice candle holder. So that's one of the cool things about here is that people feed off each other. There's one idea gets better and better and better as more people join in, and everybody gets everybody else fired up.
A lot of people have never heard of a makerspace, but other people have also heard there's a makerspace movement. What do you think makes it a movement?
Well, I think basically there's an innate human nature thing that people want to create. They want to make things or have something that a way to express themselves. A lot of times going to work and coming home just don't quite do that. So a makerspace is a place that basically has the equipment and the community to help you make whatever it is that your creativity wants to come out of you.
And I think really before the maker movement really took off, which I think maybe is 15 years now, I remember finding Make magazine on the shelves at a bookstore probably more. A couple decades ago now. But I remember when I saw that magazine, I just thought, this is awesome, you know, because before the maker movement started, when you wanted to make things, it was always something specific. You know, if you wanted to do sewing, you'd go to a sewing store. If you wanted to make model rockets, like I mentioned earlier, there was a store or a catalog you had to buy model rocket parts out of. So what's neat about the whole maker movement thing is it's a combination of all these things that already existed, and it really kind of brings it all together in one place. And what's good about that is that because we have, you know, people who sew under the same roof as the guy who writes software or the person who does woodworking, there's a lot of cross-pollination and people discovering things that they didn't do before. We had a software developer who strictly did accounting software. And unfortunately, he moved out of town for work reasons. But before he left the makerspace knowing how to do embedded systems. He had never done a hardware electronics project. He was controlling his barbecue from his cell phone. And this was a guy that just did strictly bookkeeping software before he came into the shop. So that's one of our more fun success stories.
So how long has FoxBuild been around?
It's been a little over 3 years now.
Yeah, you and Tim founded it, what, January of 2016?
Yes.
And then I joined early fall of 2016.
Yes, I think it was January or February. It was very cold in our very small first building.
That building was very unique.
Yes,
Let's just say that.
The 800-square-foot bare floor. Used to be a studio apartment that was converted to commercial space. Didn't really have a great heater. There were holes in the floor, but we made it work, and we had a very entrepreneurial group of early adopters that really helped us move up, and now we're here at a, 9,000 square feet facility?
Yeah, just about, yeah.
We're right across the street from City Hall here in St. Charles on the Fox River.
So how long have you been in this building?
We moved in basically 1 year ago now. It was last week, August last year, so we've been here 1 year.
This recording is happening in September of 2019.
Right.
Yes, so it's been almost exactly 1 year here at the new building.
So what's been the biggest challenge in getting this makerspace started?
There's a lot of challenges with running a makerspace. One of the biggest ones for me is just getting people to understand what it is, because we are kind of this oddball thing. You know, you tell people, oh, well, we've got a full wood shop. And then the next question is, oh, so you're like a tool rental company. And no, that's not really what we are. And then, okay, so maybe you're like a consultancy for people who make hardware. Nah, we don't really do any consulting. You know, the best way to describe it is, you know, we're a community of makers who have come together to share this space and to learn from each other and share a pretty extensive library of tools.
Yeah, so to echo on, you know, that, the one of the other challenges is I believe there's lots of people out there who would love to be part of this, but we haven't figured out exactly how to find them. Some of those people don't know what a makerspace is, even though they've been makers their whole lives. Other ones do, but we haven't connected yet. So we have some work to do in terms of making those connections.
Yeah, one of my most common things I see here is the first Friday of the month, we have a free event. Everybody's welcome. We have a open door, and we'll so occasionally have people come in off the sidewalk. They just walk in because they see people are, you know, eating snacks, having a good time. And I'll give them a tour, and they're just, you know, their mind is blown. Like, they had no idea that we were here. And for a lot of these people, we're walking distance. And they can't believe that it's here. They just kind of drive past all the time, and they just see the word makerspace, and they shrug it off. They don't really know. Finding the people, that's a big challenge.
It's a really interesting old building, and it's right in the center, right in the heart of St. Charles.
Yep, we're right here, right on the Fox River, right across from the municipal building. And like I said, if you're around here on the first Friday of the month, there's always a social going on that day. It's a great way for you to meet the kind of people that are here. A lot of different folks, musicians, woodworkers, metalworkers, we're all here, and it's a very social environment. So we'd love it if folks stop by when we are running our socials.
Well, and being right in the heart of downtown is also really cool, because you can come in, work on whatever you like to work on. You pop out the door, you're within 100 feet of like a dozen really good places to eat. You can go take a stroll over by the river if you just want a break, you know, need to think about your problem, the thing you're working on. Come back after dinner or after watching the river and go back at it.
Yeah, and we'll even do Thirsty Thursdays. We'll go to one of the local pubs. There's quite a few to choose from in this area. And, you know, when you're a part of a makerspace, you know, my day job, all of our employees are in California, so I don't really work with anybody directly day to day. So by being a part of this makerspace, I have a group of, work friends that I can go out with and have a beer after work on a Thursday. And to me, that's really the biggest thing, for us. In the early days, we didn't have a lot of tools like we do now, but what we did have was a lot of really nice people that you could hang out with and ask questions and even get mentorship from.
Yeah, I've definitely got a bunch of people now that I consider friends that I never would have met if I hadn't joined.
What are some examples of people who created some amazing projects here at Fox Build?
Well, I almost don't know where to start.
Yeah, we've had people that have never made, you know, woodworking projects who are now really good on the lathe. We've had people work on business ideas here. You know, we had a guy who was a coffee expert who had no electrical experience team up with a guy who actually builds insulin pumps for his day job, and they created a milk pumping device for coffee shops. And they're actually working on that, trying to get it marketed, get it off the ground. There was that one member I mentioned earlier who, you know, he created all kinds of hardware, Internet of Things type projects. He created the barbecue controller where he's controlling his barbecue pit remotely. He could get emails if his basement was flooding. He built all that equipment himself with the skills he learned here from other members.
What about the area of crafts?
There's a textile room, a lot of sewing. In fact, remember Chris teaches sewing out of the textile room. We have a leather working machine, which basically you can sew whatever, wallets, or it's actually capable of sewing shoes if you want to make your own shoes, handbags, backpacks. You can make all that kind of stuff. Got the sewing machine and the serging machine or serger. That's used for doing seams and stuff like that. And you're stretching my limit here because I'm not a sewing person.
I noticed some people were doing things with spray paint.
Yeah, one of the really cool things that's going on is I remember Luke has somebody donated a whole bunch of old windows to him. So he's been bringing in these windows, cleaning them all up, using the vinyl cutter to cut out a stencil, putting the stencil on the glass, and then spray painting through the stencil. And then when it's dry, he peels off the vinyl, and he's got this window that you can look through parts of, and other parts have colored scenery. He had one that had some hills and a sun and some kind of fancy saying, you know, inspirational saying on up above the sort of landscape picture that he'd painted on there. He's done a lot of stuff. He's also built some coffee tables out of pallet wood that were truly amazing, had really cool patterns in them.
And we've also had stories of people who already have a very strong skill set when it comes to making things, but maybe don't have a strong business skill set. And that's another thing that people can learn here. We had somebody who was a drone pilot, had a license from the FAA, but he had never started a business before, and he wanted to really sell photography services to realtors and those kind of folks who need aerial footage. But unfortunately, it was all foreign to him at the time. You know, he had no background. He'd never done it before. And we have people here who have started multiple companies, have sold companies. And so one of our members was able to give him a lot of assistance as he formed an LLC and got his business set up. So it's one of those places where, you know, maybe you don't have a friend who's got a lot of business experience, but by being a member here, you might bump into those kind of people, and they're always happy to help.
You said you had events here in the evenings also, or during the day, or weekends, or how does that work?
Basically, we encourage people to teach what they know. And so anybody that wants to teach a class on something that they're excited about is welcome to use the space, teach a class. We put it on Meetup at meetup.com, and people sign up and come in. Almost all of these are free, open to the public, and people seem to love them. You know, we get a lot of new people come in, see the place. That has actually helped us grow Fox.Build because once people are in here, I mean, the common reaction on almost every person that tours the thing is, wow, I didn't know you had all this stuff in here.
Yeah, the events are really how we've grown the community. And like you said, they're all on meetup.com, and there's also our blog at fox.build. So our name is actually our website, makes it pretty easy. If you scroll over there, you'll see an events page.
What's the most popular tool you have?
You know, it seems to vary. For a long time, it was laser cutter.
What's a laser cutter?
It's basically a laser that you use to cut plastic, typically acrylic, or wood. Those are the two most common things. You can 1/8-inch plywood. It can also cut leather and other fabrics and cardboard and things like that. But you can design something on a computer, put it in a laser cutter. You can etch part of it and cut out other parts. People made boxes. People made earrings. Just a whole host of stuff. Phone charger stands. It's kind of unlimited as long as it's sort of a two-dimensional thing. Yeah, so that's probably the most popular.
The other one that's pretty popular is the 3D printer, which, as the name implies, it allows you to take a 3D design from a computer, and you hit print, and this machine has three axes, and it actually has a stream of molten plastic that it will use to form a plastic part that is identical to the design on the computer. So that's really useful for people who are building products that they're trying to sell, or maybe they have crafts, or they need to make, like, I don't know, a gear for a model airplane that they need to put in there. Anything that's made out of plastic that you need to replace, that's, you know, maybe smaller than 8 inches by 8 inches by 8 inches, you can fabricate it on one of the 5 3D printers we have.
And what's the newest tool we have?
We just got a metal milling machine that you can basically use it to mill aluminum and or steel. So for example, say you wanted to make a bracket out of steel and you needed a big long slot in it. If you have the milling machine, that's pretty easy to do. You fire the thing up and put the bit down and crank the handle one way and cut the slot. If you don't have a milling machine, you end up drilling a whole bunch of holes all in a row and then trying to file out the little nibs in between each circle. And that's a real pain, and it's hard, and it doesn't actually end up coming out looking very nice most times. So this machine really, really kind of rounds out what we got in the metal shop. And between that and the metal lathe, you can do pretty much any metalworking thing you'd like to do.
What's the coolest tool you have that you wish people were using more?
You know, I think we have something called an X-Carve, which, if you think of it, I'll try to describe it here. It's you've got two rails that go in the X-axis and the Y-axis, and then there's a screw that goes up and down on the Z-axis, and it's holding a router with a drill bit on it, and you can put in a design into the computer, and it will actually carve, you know, if it's aluminum or wood or a plastic block, you can have it carve really any part that's smaller than 1 meter by 1 meter. So it's a super useful tool. It's extremely accurate. And I think a lot of people don't know it's there. So I'll occasionally give classes on that in the afternoons to raise awareness of it, because it's when you have this many tools, it's easy to forget that you have some of them just because, you know, we've got 5 3D printers, 2 laser cutters. It's hard to keep track of sometimes.
What about you, Doug? What's a favorite tool you have that you wish was used more?
Well, I really want to see the metal shop get up and going and people making stuff in there. We just got the mill. I'm putting together a class now on how to use it so that people, you know, can go in there. Sometimes this stuff is intimidating. You know, you've never used one. A lot of people probably haven't actually had an opportunity to see one in person. It's not a common thing. You know, you don't go over to Ace Hardware and see them selling these kinds of tools. So I'd really like to get the metal shop up and see more activity in there.
At the top of the episode, you mentioned there's co-working. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, co-working is also similar to the maker movement. Co-working is a trend that's on the up and up here in the U.S. Basically, as the economy evolves, more and more people are becoming independent contractors. More and more people are becoming owners of small companies with maybe 4 employees or less. And for a lot of these independent contractors and small-scale companies, it doesn't make sense to own an office outright. And so what co-working does is by signing up for Fox Build with your $60 a month membership, you can use our address as your official business address so people, you know, so that it doesn't look like you're running it out of your garage. And you can come here 24 hours a day, reserve a conference room. You can open your laptop, use our Wi-Fi, take calls, all the things that you would do at an office if maybe you were a little bit bigger, but a little bit more affordable, more accessible for early stage entrepreneurs.
Well, and you get the added advantage that you don't have the distractions a lot of people have at home. You know, the dog barking, the mailman ringing a doorbell because you got a package, you know, those kind of things. And there's other people here that may have run across some of the issues that you're trying to solve and may have some way to help you get through some of those issues.
People want to learn more about this. They want to get a tour. How does that work?
Best way to start is to visit our website. It's fox.built. And if you have any questions or you'd like to schedule a tour, you can shoot me an email. Email address is info@fox.build. And I look forward to seeing anybody who's interested in coming over and happy to give them a tour.
Just like to make one clarification on the website address. It truly is fox.build. There is no www. Sometimes that confuses people. Oh,
and it's not fox.build.com either. It's just fox.build. When we, it's kind of a funny story. In February of 2016, when we were starting, we threw a meetup. We didn't have a name yet, and it was just a bunch of aluminum chairs. We bought some snacks, and we were just brainstorming. What are we going to call this thing? And you know, all these names floated around, and I was looking for domain names, and then it came up as a suggestion on my computer, fox.build, and I thought, wow, the word fox.build had not been taken, and we were just so impressed with it that we just said, you know what, we're gonna name this place fox.build, and it kind of just stuck, and ever since, that's what we've been.
Well, excellent. It's been great meeting with you guys today, and it's great learning all about FoxBuild. And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Fox Build Unmodulated. This is a production of Habanero Media.